Good morning to you. And so over this weekend, we've been looking at the patience of God, the patience of others, and now this morning we want to look at the practice of patience in our own lives. And what does that look like? And so as we begin to look at the practice of patience in our own lives, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever said something like this? I cannot bear that person. And maybe you haven't said something like this because you know you might be a Christian, so you know you can't say stuff like this. But have you ever thought something like this? I cannot bear that person. Sometimes it is so strong that you cannot even bear the sight of that person, or even the sound of that person. Have you ever said something like that? Or thought something like that? I have. And I think at some point in our lives, all of us have experienced something like this. This hatred toward others where we get to the point where it seems like we cannot bear them. Now maybe you're not a Christian this morning and you're visiting this morning. Let me tell you something. I'm not speaking every Sunday. That's a good thing for you. But what you will realize is you will come in here and people will smile at you, hopefully, and welcome you well, and that is good. And what you can see sometimes as a visitor when you come into the church is you look at people and you think they are people who have got it all together. Let me tell you something, if you're visiting this morning, we don't have it all together. We don't. We think some of these very same things that we shouldn't think. We find it hard to bear people. And maybe some of you have that person in your mind right now. And you're saying to yourself, well, Shane, if you knew the person I was thinking about, Shane, if you only knew them and who they were and what they have done, you would agree with me. So Shane, what I'm going to do with you is I'm going to take you up afterwards and I'll explain to you this person and then you will agree with me. So I will listen to the sermon thinking of everybody else and that's okay, but this person, they're in a category of their own. I don't think the Lord would have us do that. What you're saying to yourself is this person essentially, they are the worst of the worst. I want to tell you this morning how Jesus treated someone who is the worst of the worst. Look at 1 Timothy in your Bibles. It is page 1846. 1 Timothy, page 1846. How did Christ treat one of the worst of the worst? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Paul is acknowledging one thing about himself, that he is the worst of sinners. In fact, Paul, when he looks back on his life, Paul knows that this was his life. He was one of the worst of sinners. Looking back to verse 13 of the very same chapter, he says this, even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. Paul's past life, how he describes himself as the worst of the worst in three words. I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and I was a violent man. I was a blasphemer. I spoke against the Lord, and I spoke against the Lord's people. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I persecuted Christians and was against them. In fact, as we look at Paul's past life, I want you to hear of his past life. Paul had two names, Saul and Paul, used interchangeably. And in Acts chapter 8, you don't need to turn there, just listen. It says this of Paul or Saul. And Saul was there giving approval to his death, the death of Stephen. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Paul did door-to-door work before, but he had a different purpose. He went from house to house, dragging people out and seeing that they would be persecuted. This was Paul, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. That last word is basically the all-encompassing word. Basically, he is a vile man, a wicked man, or in simple terms, Paul was a bad man. This is who Paul was. And so he had this keen sense of who he was, but he also has this present sense of who he is. In verse 15, he says, of whom I am the worst. He came into this world, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And so Paul has this keen sense of awareness of his sin in his life. And so what we could picture is these two pictures. On this one sense, you have Paul. And he's pictured here, picture a podium. And on this podium, you have number 3, you have number 2, and you have number 1. Well, this is how Paul sees himself. He is standing on the podium, not as number 3, not as number 2, but he is standing there as number 1. The worst of the worst sinners. But he also has this other picture in his mind. The picture of the cross. And he is not standing, but he is kneeling. Yes, as one of the worst sinners, but kneeling as a forgiven sinner at the foot of the cross. And so as we think of Paul, we should think of these two pictures. On the one hand, he is the worst of the worst, and on the other hand, he is the most forgiven of all. And when we see these two pictures then, how can we make sense of both those two pictures existing at the same time? Well, there is one word that Paul has for us. And it is this: mercy. The only thing that explains those two pictures existing at the same time is mercy. Listen to what he says, verse 16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy. So that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience. I was shown mercy. I deserved judgment, but I was shown mercy. And I was an example to the world of the unlimited patience of Christ Jesus. God the Father is slow to anger. God the Son is perfectly patient. Another word you could use there instead of unlimited patience, I think there is a better word. It is perfect patience. I was shown perfect patience, Paul is saying. As an example to those who would believe and could receive eternal life. Therefore, what this means, if Paul is the worst of the worst, what this means is that if God showed patience to him, surely he can show patience to us. You know, in Passage West, I was sitting in the kitchen of this man, and he is a friend of mine, a young man. He is a heroin addict. And he said to me, Shane, you don't know the things I've done in my life. You wouldn't be telling me this if you knew what I had done, Shane. I said to him, let me tell you what my Jesus has done for you. Let me tell you what my Jesus has done for Paul. And I read him this very passage. And I said to him, if Jesus showed patience to a man like Paul, could he not show that very same patience to a man like you? He said, I guess so. I guess so is right. And so this weekend, I am keenly aware that as we have been talking about patience and reflecting on our lack of it and the reality of anger in our own lives, we can feel like the worst of the worst. And what I want you to hear this morning is that Christ Jesus shows his perfect patience to you. Even if this morning you feel like the worst of the worst, if you would come to Jesus, you will receive his mercy. But do you know what that also means? If you have received his mercy, doesn't that mean that everybody else can receive his mercy too? Doesn't that also mean that the person that you cannot bear, the person that you've put out to the side here, does that not also mean that even that person, the worst of the worst that you could think of, even that person can receive the perfect patience of Jesus Christ and be forgiven? Do you know what that means? Yes, they can. And if it means that for us, and if it means that for them, should that not mean for our lives, if we've received this perfect patience, that we show and give that to others? We love because he first loved us. We are patient because he was first patient with us. So we extend that to others. The reason why I think we should seek to extend that to others is also for what it says in Colossians chapter 3. If you turn back just a couple of pages, we'll be looking at a few different verses this morning. Just a couple of pages, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We are those who have received patience, and therefore we are those who should exhibit patience and exude patience in our lives. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Listen to what it says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do you know what I love about these two verses? Is that these two verses tell us, firstly, who we are before they tell us what we should do. These two verses are a little picture of the Pauline pattern. Because in Paul's letters, what he often does in the first half of his letters, he tells you who you are in Christ. And then in the second half of his letters, he tells you what you should do in response to your relationship in Christ. And so in these two verses, what we have is a smaller picture of that reality. First, Paul tells us who we are, and then Paul is telling us what we should do. Because Paul could have just said in verse 12, therefore, as God's people, clothe yourself. But he didn't just say, therefore, as God's people. What he said is this in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy people, dearly loved people. And here is what Paul wants us to get in our heads. Firstly, you are a chosen people. And we get into debates about what does it mean that we are a chosen people or an elect people. But the simple truth is this: he has picked us. And that should draw us to praise. Who does not want to be picked? Do you remember in primary school when they did that little evil game and they lined you up against the wall and they were picking teams? Do you remember that? And you stood against the wall and your knees were knobbling together and you were hoping one thing, that you would be picked. You are chosen. If you're a Christian and you have believed in Jesus Christ, you are chosen by him, and he wants you to know that. And not only are you chosen, but you are holy. You are made holy. Yes, we are called to be holy, but we are made holy. We are set apart for him and his purposes, to live out life for him in holiness to him. And thirdly, we are dearly loved. See, what you're going to be tempted to do is say, oh, I better be patient so that he loves me. No, he loves you, and so we are called to be patient. If these three realities are true, what he says to us is then, put on the clothes that you're supposed to wear. Now, I'm certainly no fashion guru, I can assure you of that. My wife, we're now at that stage, where basically, what used to happen was she used to approve my clothes. Now what happens is she just puts them on the bed and I put them on. You know, she buys them for me and I say, okay, that's where we're at right now. I'm not a fashion guru. But there are certain clothes that just don't look good on people, right? Certain clothes that just don't look well. You know, for Christians, those who are in Christ, there are certain clothes that don't look well on us. Clothing of greed. And pride, and lust, and anger, and impatience. They look horrible on Christians. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I bet that's one of the reasons you don't like Christians. Because they don't look as they should, and don't put on the clothes that they should. What are we to clothe ourselves with? Well, verse 12 tells us, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the clothes we are to wear. In response to his love, we are to wear the clothes of patience. And so what it is you might go and try and put on these clothes of patience after this weekend, and you say, it just doesn't fit. It's annoying when clothes don't fit, right? But what has happened is God the Father has laid out clothes for us on the bed and they do fit, and he calls on us to put them on. And you know, as we put them on, do you know what it looks like? Verse 13, we bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances we may have. And we forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Those people that we cannot bear, we should not put them in a category on their own. No, we should bear with one another. And so just as there is a link between patience and anger, the patient person is the one who is slow to anger. The patient person is the one who has faith and trust in Christ. The patient person is the one who endures. The patient person is the one who perseveres. But the patient person is also the one who bears. Who bears with other people. We see that in Ephesians 4, where it says, be completely humble and gentle toward one another. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. The patient person bears with other people. Are you bearing with one another? But you know, it's possible that there are people in this room that can't bear one another. Of course, in Ireland, you know, we don't express that out. We just cold shoulder each other or don't say it out. This is the beauty about being a guest. I don't have a clue. But it could be the reality. What are we called to do, brothers and sisters? Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, it's not that bad. It's not that I don't bear other people. You know, I think I'm okay with other people. But let me ask you this then. Are there other people that just annoy you? Do people annoy you? Maybe it's not that bad that you don't bear, because you know I'm dramatic and maybe I just make it out that we all can't bear one another, but maybe there's just people that annoy us. What would the scripture say to that? Well, let us turn to just one more verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 14. And it says this. A couple of pages to the right. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And when you look at these verses, what you could see is possibly four commands, as we look at it in our translations. We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Four commands. But what way I think this could be translated, just at the end of the verse, instead of saying be patient with everyone as an extra command, I think it can be translated and possibly should be translated, be patient with them all. Therefore, what you have in this verse is warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with them all. Not so much four commands, but three commands encapsulated by one. Be patient with all of them. And so what I think this means for us in the church is there are people who annoy us and it seems like they're just idle. Maybe lazy. In their work, at home, in the church, wherever. They're lazy. And so that might frustrate us. And so what we think is the answer is let's just go and give them a good talking to. If we go and give them a good talking to, then that should sort them out. But no, I believe the answer would be to the idol, we be patient with them all. Maybe there are some of those here this morning that are timid or, in other words, discouraged. And the verse tells us, encourage the discouraged. Sometimes we just want to pick people up and shove them along in life. No, we're to gently encourage the discouraged, patiently. And there are some of us this morning that are weak. Spiritually, we are weak. And what you don't need is someone to come up to you and go, would you ever just read your Bible? You know the song, read your Bible, pray it. Would you ever just do that? No. Maybe we could get alongside the weak and encourage them patiently and slowly and continue on being patient with them all. As we have looked at patience this weekend, there is something you will realize, and it's what I have realized, is this. Patience seems impossible. Shane, it's fine because we can nod our heads during this weekend, but I know Monday morning's coming. Patience is fine on a Sunday morning when it's sunny and we're sitting down in church. Patience is hard when we hit real life. Is patience even possible? I want you to listen to Galatians chapter 5. Just listen to these words. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives is patience. What this means is that God not only gives us clothes to wear, but he helps us with them. Do you know, my children, it happened this very morning. I lay out clothes for them. My boy, he had this little shirt and he wants to do the buttons, right? So I lay out clothes for them and they fit. And he tries to put it on, but he can't. What does a father do when his son can't put on his clothes? Do you know what he does? He kneels down and he helps them put them on. God, the Holy Spirit, enables us to live a life of patience. We are not just called to patience. We are empowered for patience by the power of the Spirit. This is who God is. God the Father is slow to anger. God the Son is perfectly patient. And God the Holy Spirit empowers us for a life of patience. If this is who God is, then this is who God's people should be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the patience that you show us. Holy Spirit, enable us to live and walk a life of patience. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your death on a cross, which calls us to a life of patience and also motivates us to a life of patience. I pray that you would help us to forgive as you have forgiven us, to bear as you have bared us. In your name, amen.